The scripture reading today is from Matthew 5, it's verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, and neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
In 2 weeks, I'm going to begin a new sermon series entitled God's Behind the Scenes, and it's going to be a study of the book of Esther, and I wrote a little bit about that in your bulletin this morning if you want to read that sometime this week. I'm excited about that new series. We have postcards that you can pass out to your friends and neighbors to invite them to come and be a part of that study. They're in the front foyer and also up front as well. Next Sunday, though, we're going to have a very special Sunday where we're going to honor the young and the old among us. And so during our worship time, we're going to lift up the young among us. We're going to lift up our children and our teenagers. And we're going to give Bibles to first graders and to sixth graders. We're going to charge our youth group. And we're just going to kind of celebrate the children and the youth among us. But then during the Bible class hour, we're going to honor the old among us, or the more mature among us, you might say, as we have several couples who have been married over 60 years, and so we're going to have a special reception for them. It's just going to be a really wonderful day, and so we look forward to next Sunday. Well, since we're kind of in between, we finished the series from the summer, and we haven't quite started the series for the fall, I thought I might do something a little bit different this morning. And so if you're our guest this morning, this isn't the normal sermon that I preach. But instead, what we're going to do this morning is we're just going to take a little time to remember who we are. One of the challenges that we're facing, and it's a good challenge, is that we've received a lot of new people here at Southside over the past 4 or 5 years, and that's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and we believe God sent many of you here to be with us. But one of the challenges that that creates is making sure that every one of us understands who we are and who God has called us to be and how God has brought us to this point. And so this morning, I'm going to tell my version of the Southside story, and we'll see how this goes. Southside story obviously begins with God because we are His people, and God is the one who has been at work among us to shape us and to change us. But I want to talk about what God has done through this body of believers over the past several years. Southside began as a congregation in 1892. That's correct, 1892. It actually started as a church plant of the First Christian Church downtown. Now, the First Christian Church started in the mid-1800s, and there was a lot of fairly famous people who were a part of the First Christian Church, people like John Peter Smith was a member of the First Christian Church. Carol Peake, who was the first doctor in Fort Worth, was a member of the First Christian Church. And then there was this large family called the Van Zandt family, who was also a part of the First Christian Church. And it was particularly one of the Van Zandts who felt like that there needed to be a new congregation on the southern outskirts of town. That's right, southern outskirts of town. And so they decided to start what became known as Southside Church of Christ. Started in a home, then eventually moved to a building. And then in 1916, they got a pretty large building at the intersection of College and Luda Street, which is just north of here a little ways, close to Trimble Tech High School. And for many years, that was the building that Southside used. We refer to that as the old building. And there are some of us here who remember worshiping in that old building. I know Brother Sam Levesey remembers the old building. Jim and Jane Anthony remember the old building. Wes Beard remembers the old building. Probably a number of others who remember that old building. During those years of Southside, there was some really, really good preachers. People like Jesse Sewell, who went on to become the president of Abilene Christian College. C.E. Woolridge, who is the grandfather of Jane Anthony, was a preacher for Southside during that era. Also, Robert C. Jones, who was well-loved and well-respected, was a preacher for Southside during that time. Well, in the 1950s, Southside had grown so much that they were just overflowing that old building. And so the elders decided that they would build a new building at 2101 Hemphill Street. And the story that was told me is that this building cost $450,000. And the way they raised that money in the 1950s, the way they raised that money is they went to every single home of every single family at church. The elders met them in their home and said, "How much money are you going to give for this building?" Now, that's the way you raise money. And they raised it. And so in 1959, this building was built. And it was built to match the neighborhood. At that time, this neighborhood was a pretty well-to-do, ritzy neighborhood. It was a place everybody wanted to live. And so this building was built to match that. And so it had the beautiful columns, and it had the nice steeple on top, and it had beautiful chandeliers. In the early 1960s, my father-in-law was a student at Oklahoma Christian College at that time, and he remembers, he was on the debate team at Oklahoma Christian. He remembers coming to Fort Worth for a debate tournament at TCU, and it was during the week. And so on Wednesday night, they came to Bible class at Southside because they wanted to see the chandeliers. They had heard about those things, and they wanted to see them. Normally, buildings of churches of Christ aren't as ornate and beautiful as the one that we have, but it was built this way to match the neighborhood. Those were the golden years of Southside, some people say. The membership was maybe 700 or so in size at that time. And it was a really good time in Southside's history. But then things started to change. The neighborhood started to change. Like most urban areas around the United States, the inner city started to experience blight and neglect. As people moved out to the suburbs, there started to be a vacuum in the inner city to where there was a lot of poor. There was a lot of rent homes, apartment complexes, just a lot of the issues that come with an urban area started to happen here in this neighborhood. And Southside slowly, and we've plotted this. Terry Kyle, our resident statistician, has plotted this, and slowly Southside's membership started to decline, just ever so slowly over a period of time. And you might wonder, maybe, that if things had continued the way they were, that maybe Southside would have continued to decline and maybe would not even be here today. But something happened. God did something among this body of believers. And the way that I look at it, there was three big events that happened in our history that totally changed who we are here at Southside. Changed this church from being a dying church that may not be here much longer to becoming a vibrant missional church. And let me explain what happened. The first thing that happened, the first big event, is that there was a decision to stay in this neighborhood. I'm not exactly sure when this decision was made. I think maybe it happened in the early 80s. We have one still remaining former elder who was a part of that decision. That was our brother Gene Kyle back here. And I'm thankful that he's still here to tell us about that story. But there was a decision. The elders talked about it. There was some thought, maybe we should move. Maybe we should move out of this neighborhood to a more comfortable area, maybe closer to where a lot of the members live. Maybe that's what we ought to do. And the decision was made, no, we're not going to do that. We are going to stay in this neighborhood. A couple years ago, I was up at Ohio Valley University, and I was speaking up there, and there was a guy named John Clayton who came up to me. John Clayton is known as traveling around the Brotherhood, speaking about creation and Genesis and science and evolution and all those kinds of issues. And he came up to me and said, "I remember Southside, and I remember when they were thinking about moving out." And he said he was here speaking, and he said he was a part of some meeting. I don't know how John Clayton was a part of this meeting, but he said he was a part of some meeting where the discussion started to happen about whether to move or to stay. And he said someone stood up in that meeting and said, "Well, are we going to preach the gospel to ourselves or to the lost?" As Jesus said to do. And that perspective won the day. We're going to stay in this neighborhood, and we're going to preach the gospel here, and we're going to learn how to minister to this neighborhood. Well, one of the first attempts, and there were other attempts, but one key attempt to minister to this neighborhood was the starting of our food pantry and clothing ministry. Started in the 80s. Started when John Scott was the preacher, I believe. And it started in a closet, right? And now it's expanded to a whole wing of our church building. And that is such a critical part of our church, because that ministry is one of the first key ways that we just started to reach out to our neighborhood and to be a blessing to our neighborhood. And still today, there's 400 to 500 families a month who come to our building to receive food and clothes, and it's a wonderful gateway into our neighborhood. Well, the second key event that happened is not a very pleasant event, but I think God worked through it. And that is that there was a split. After John Scott left as the preacher, things started to change, and there started to be this split that occurred, where about 100 to 150 people left Southside to start their own church. And I've talked to a number of people, and everybody tells a different side to the story. But what it seems as if is that the issue involved were some sort of worship issues. But as you know, in church splits, the issue is never really the issue. And I think there was two lessons that we painfully learned through that church split. One lesson, number one, is we learned that we need to be a little more accommodative to people who have a little different perspective than us. We need to show a little grace to someone else, even if they don't maybe share exactly the same opinion that we do. And that's an important lesson for us to learn, because if we're going to be a church of mission, you got to be a church of grace. Judgmental churches are not evangelistic churches, folks. No one wants to come to a church and be judged. And so I think that was an important lesson for our church to learn, painfully learn through a church split. But the second lesson that I've heard is that we learned that maybe we were a little bit too internally focused. Now, there were a lot of external ministries going on from time to time throughout our history, but maybe in some ways we had gotten a little bit internally focused at that point. And God was reminding us what happens when you do that. When you get internally focused, there starts to be disagreements. There starts to be, I want it my way. And then there can be a church split. And maybe God was subtly reminding us that we need to keep our eyes focused outwardly on His mission. Well, then right after that, there was the third key event that happened. While Southside was licking its wounds from a church split, which had decimated us quite a bit, to where it was a pretty smaller group here, right across the street was the Salvation Army First Choice Program at the time, where women and their children would stay in a residential program and work through drug and alcohol recovery. And one Sunday morning, one of those ladies walked across the street. Her name was Jane Pearson. She walked across the street and she walked into one of our Bible classes, and she took her pack of cigarettes, threw it down on the table, and said, "Okay, guys, tell me what this book, the Bible, has to say about how to change my life." Now, if you want to shake up a Bible class, do it that way. That'll shake up a Bible class. And as that lady walked across the street, I think God started to change our church, because our eyes started to be open that maybe God's trying to tell us something here. I mean, right across the street, here's a whole slew of women and children who really need Jesus. And here we are licking our wounds from this church split that has happened. Maybe we need to join God in what He's doing in redeeming broken lives. And so we had a whole group of women who started going across the street, teaching Bible classes, mentoring women, loving on those children. And we still see fruit from that. We still have women who were a part of that First Choice program who still attend this church. Did you know that? And out of all of that began what we now call our Hope Ministry. Now, a key part of this story is that Dan and Kathy Leaf were reassigned. See, when Dan came to Southside, he was hired as a youth minister. Now, can you believe that? I would pay to see Dan as a youth minister. Amen. He's on sabbatical, so I can say that. But the elders pulled him in and said, okay, you were a missionary in Ecuador for 5 years. Come be a missionary here. Come be a missionary here. And so Dan and Kathy started this ministry that we call Hope Ministry, Heavenly Options for Painting Emptiness, this ministry that walks beside people as they're going through addiction recovery to help them find healing. And on a Sunday, general Sunday morning, we're going to have 60 to 70 folks in our Hope class now, sometimes even more than that. And again, I think it was God showing us that mission is not just what happens in Ecuador. It's not just what happens across the sea. Mission happens here and now. It happens across the street. It happens in our neighborhood. God opened our eyes to show us that we're missionaries right here and right now. It started us on this trajectory to start looking at our neighborhood through the eyes of the mission of God. And when we started to do that, God started opening doors. So the Salvation Army First Choice Program moved from across the street. And when that happened, the door opened for us to get into Tarrant County Jail. And so the same women who were teaching Bible classes across the street took those Bible classes to a pod at the jail downtown. And we started teaching this curriculum called Our Search for God, started giving out life recovery Bibles, and the women started ministering to the women in jail. And we've seen wonderful, wonderful fruit happen through that. We've seen women get out of jail, come to this building, say, I want to be baptized into Christ. One of those ladies had to go back into jail, but before she went back into jail, she told me, said, keep my name in the directory, because I'm a part of this church. I'm just your missionary in jail. I like that perspective. And so still today, we have women every week who go into Tarrant County Jail teaching the Bible to the inmates there. Then our eyes were open to college students, and Chris Jeter talked about this two weeks ago. Well, we had a couple of TCU students who wandered into our assembly, and Joe and Emily Bullock opened their eyes and said, you know what, we really wished when our son went to college that there was a church that loved and appreciated him. Maybe we should do the same for the college students that God is sending us. And so out of that started this ministry that we called Frogs for Christ. Now we call it Connect. But dozens and dozens and dozens of college students have come through these doors and have been a part of this ministry over the past 10 years. And we've seen baptisms, we've seen many good things happen as a result of it. And then God opened our eyes to neighborhood schools. I love this story. Just after I got here, there was an assistant principal at Daggett Middle School who called me, and he said, we need an evacuation site just in case there was some kind of tragedy. Could Southside be our evacuation site? I said, absolutely, but if we're going to be your evacuation site, I want to come and get a tour of your school. Because I'm new and I've never been there before, and maybe there's some ways that we can partner with you guys. And so I went over to Daggett Middle School, and this assistant principal took me through all the classrooms and everything. And the way he did this tour, he would stop, he would go to a classroom, he would open the door, and he would stop the class. He'd say, okay, stop, 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 stop. This guy right here, this is Clore. He is from Southside Church of Christ. They're going to be doing a lot of stuff here at our school, and you need to know this guy because he's going to be around here. And so this is who, I just wanted a tour of the school. I mean, I was. But God opened our eyes that in our neighborhood, there's a lot of schools who struggle in a lot of ways. And maybe there are ways that we can, as missionaries, come alongside of them and offer the blessing of Christ. And so we have started all these different ministries, like our school store, which we had yesterday. Many of those families were from Daggett Elementary and Daggett Middle and other local neighborhood schools. Started the tutoring program. We're doing Academy 4, and on it goes of different things we've done to partner and to bless our neighborhood schools. And then we could talk about our clinic. We could talk about how God opened the door for us to have a clinic. JPS has these school-based health clinics that are normally on school property to where children can come to these clinics and get free childcare, free health care, I should say, and then get right back into school. And there wasn't one of these kind of clinics in our neighborhood, and someone in our community mentioned that to us, said, y'all could do something about that. And we had a building over here that we weren't using. We were just using it for storage. And so with the help of Jerry Barker and a few others, we made a presentation, a request to JPS, and we said, could you put one of these clinics in our neighborhood, not on school property, but on church property? Can a public institution do that? Can you put it on church property? And JPS approved one clinic that year, and it was ours. And now 2,000 to 3,000 children every year come to 2101 Hemphill Street to get health care. Several years ago, there was a lady who visited our services, and she filled out a guest card, and so I called her the next week and told her thanks for coming, and I said, you know, how did you know to come to Southside? She said, well, we're looking for a church home. Well, how did you know to come here? She said, well, we come to Southside to get our food. We come to Southside to get our clothes. We come to Southside to get our school supplies. We come to Southside for our children to go to health, get health care. We figure we might as well come to Southside to worship. I said, I like that idea. And I don't have time to talk about the other ways in which God has opened doors, where he's opened our eyes to one safe place, where now we got Melissa over there as our representative. When an abused woman walks into one safe place and they want to talk about God, Melissa's there to talk to her about God. We don't have time to talk about our short-term missions and how God has opened our eyes to how we can join with other ministry works across the world, like in Ecuador or Honduras or Ukraine or other places. That's such a big part of our church now. We could talk about our community garden and what Mac and Barbara McAllister did when they partnered with the food bank to create this community garden, how it's been such a blessing to our neighbor. We could go on and on, but I hope you see a pattern here. The pattern is that God was doing something. It wasn't that the elders decreed, okay, we're going to start a clinic and we're going to do it. Or we're going to begin a hope ministry and so let's do it. But instead, God was at work. And God opened the door. We just realized, hey, we're missionaries. God has placed us in this neighborhood for a reason. And so maybe we should join God and what he's already doing. About 8 or 9 years ago, the ministers and elders came up with this vision statement that we say a lot here at Southside, a place of mission, mercy, and transformation. This wasn't a new vision when we came up with it. It was simply an articulation of the direction we were going. The number one, we're missionaries. That's why we use this phrase, partner in the gospel, because when you come to Southside and you join this church, you're not joining to sit on a pew. You're joining to join the mission, to become a partner in the gospel, to become a part of what we are trying to do in joining God and his mission in the world. We're missionaries. Every one of us, we're called. We are here for a reason, and we're called to join him in this work of sharing the gospel in word and deed. Number two, we're a church of mercy. We're a place where anybody can come, and I believe that. Anybody can come, no matter what you dress like, no matter what you look like, no matter what your background is, you can come here and you can receive mercy. And that mercy might come in a variety of forms. It might come in a sack of food, sack of groceries. It might come in a bag of school supplies. It might come in the form of a tutor. It might come in the form of a life recovery Bible. It might come in a hug. It might come in, hey, sit with me this morning. But we are a church of mercy. That's who we are. That's who Jesus was. And that's who we're called to be in this neighborhood, in this place, in this city. And then number three, we're a church of transformation. We're a place where God is changing lives by his Spirit. Where people who once were addicted are now free from addiction. People who once were oppressed are now breaking free from that oppression. People who have had brokenness in their family and in their lives and in their marriages, those things are being put back together. That's the kind of church we want to be, we hope to be. One of my favorite times of the year is the Day of Hope. And we have about 8 or 9 or 10 folks who share their testimony of how God has been changing their lives. That's who we are. A church of transformation, mission, mercy, and transformation. Now, I don't know what the future's going to hold. I'm not a prophet. And we've got certainly challenges ahead of us. Our neighborhood's changing again. Did you notice that? People are moving back into our neighborhood. Our neighborhood is a trendy place to live now. And the poor are getting pushed to the further outskirts of the city. I don't know what that's going to mean for us. Our building is getting pretty full at times on Sundays. I don't know what that's going to mean for us as well. But I do know this, is that what God has called us to be is to be missionaries. And he's called us to show mercy to our neighborhood and city and the world. And he's called us to be a church where God is changing lives. And if we change from that, if we lose the missionary spirit, if we let fear trump mercy, if we become cozier with the status quo rather than letting God transform us and change us, God will stop blessing our church. Because what he has called us to be is to be people who are partners in the gospel, joining him in his mission. When I think about Southside, the scripture that comes to my mind is the scripture that was read to us earlier from Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is telling us who we are called to be. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp, but put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." When I think about our church, I think about being a light. And I think about the light in the steeple. And many of you know this story, that in on our bulletin and on our website, our key brand is our steeple, the blue light that emits from that steeple. And the reason why that's the case is because back in the 90s, when that Salvation Army First Choice program was across the street, there was a moment where our steeple light was not shining. And those women went over to teach their Bible lesson, and the women there were asking us, "Well, what's wrong with the steeple? Why is the light not shining? Is it not going to come back on? What's wrong with it?" And the women said, no, they're just working on the steeple. It'll be back on here in just a little while. And the women said, "Oh, good. Because when we say our prayers at night, we turn towards that steeple because that light gives us hope." And a few months ago, Lindsay and I were over across the street at what is now the Bastion. It's a catering restaurant. And we went into one of those, the main building over there, that building where some of those Bible studies were held, where a lot of those women would gather. And when you look out that window, you see front and center our steeple. And I just imagine those women seeing that light that gave them hope. And that's our vision. To be a light to the city, to be a church that has the light of Christ in us, to where it's shining out to the neighborhood to see, and it's shining out for the city to see, and it's shining out for the world to see. Because that's what God has called us to be, the light of the world that brings glory to Christ. I've asked Alan Heggie to come up at this time and offer a special prayer of blessing over our church, thanking God for where he's brought us and asking for his wisdom and guidance for the future. Please come.
Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we praise you. We glorify you, dear Lord. We lift you up and we praise you for Jesus, our chief shepherd, our Savior, our sacrifice, the head of this church. Dear Lord, we are so grateful for the way that you have used Southside, that you've given us opportunities, you've answered our prayers, you've brought people to us, people who want to work, who want to be part of this family, people who have needs, who need to hear your gospel, who need to have hope. Thank you for bringing us together, dear Lord, and for making us your instrument. And please, dear Lord, help us never, never, never to forget to thank you and to glorify you. We could never have done this on our own. And it's because of you, it's because of your Holy Spirit, it's because of the example and the leadership of Jesus that we are here today. And we praise you to be your children. We praise you that we can be your instrument, an instrument of mission, an instrument of mercy, an instrument of transformation in the name of Jesus here on the south side of Fort Worth, in this community, in this place, as your word goes out into the whole world. Help us to be salt. Help us to be light. Help us to be a city on the hill for you. May others come to know you. May others receive the grace of salvation through Jesus' sacrifice because of this place, because this is a place where they can hear your word, because these are people who want to share your story, who want to tell other people about you, who want to share the good news and the joy of being your child, who want to show mercy and love and compassion, who want to transform lives and transform this world. So many times, dear Lord, we get discouraged. We hear the news, we look around us, we see the sinfulness, we see suffering, we see the devil at work, and we could get discouraged. But we know that you are the victory. We know that through you comes unity and strength and perseverance and victory and salvation. As we share this great news, be with us, dear Lord. Help us to keep our eyes toward the future, even as we honor the past. And we do thank you for the past. We thank you for those who've been here, who have worked so hard, who have been so faithful. Who have been a great example for all of us. We do honor them, Lord. But we also know how they love and honor you. Help us to honor them by keeping our eyes on you and knowing that you're with us. We don't have to do this by ourselves. You don't want us to do this by ourselves. You want us to look to you, to be filled with your Spirit as we work, as we honor you, as we love our neighbors. Thank you so much for this opportunity, and thank you for the opportunities we don't even know about yet, but we are confident you're going to bring our way. And I ask your blessing on every person, on every family who's represented here today, who's part of this great body, this great church family. Help us, dear Lord, to have that unity, that bond of peace. And I ask your blessing on those people in our neighborhood who need to hear your word, who need to be shown mercy. Help us to be the instrument through which they come to know you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.
We're going to have our time of invitation and prayer. And if you came this morning and you are burdened down with something, there's an issue going on in your life that you need to repent of, or if you just need encouragement, that's one reason why we came this morning. And we're going to have our elders and ministers surround this auditorium, and you can just walk to one of them during this song, let them pray over you. If you're ready to be baptized into Christ, we'd love to welcome you into God's family. You can just come to the front. We'd help you do that. Any way we can be encouragement to you this morning, we want to do that now. Let's stand. Let's sing at this time.